But tonight, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the certainty of death. We're all going to die, unless Jesus comes pretty soon. You know, and quite honestly, I rather think that he's going to come before we die. But then, we need to live like we're going to die this minute. In other words, live our life spiritually, be ready to meet Jesus any minute, but at the same time, we plan our life like we're going to live forever. And what I mean by that is we plan for our children, our grandchildren, and so on. The Bible says to leave an inheritance for them. And one guy said, what retirement amounts to is you get to watch somebody else spend everything that you ever worked for in a real quick time, short time. That's about right, isn't it? Come on in, brother. Good to see you. But there's one thing for sure. Just as sure as we're born, we're going to die. In fact, they say that death starts at birth. And but death is not to be afraid of. Now, I used to worry about dying. And after I got saved, after I become a Christian, began to study his word, and began to think about heaven, it's actually a big plus. Now, I want to be with my family. I love my children and my grandchildren. I've got 7 grandchildren. And I love my babies. And was with some of them just yesterday. But at the same time, when we think about heaven and all that God has for us, there's nothing down here to compare with that, really. You think about it. You know, not even a headache. Not ever have, you know, we can't even imagine that, I don't guess, where there's nothing ever wrong. Trucking can't be there, so. Get your Bibles in the seat, if you would, and turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We'll be reading out tonight out of the New International Version. If you want a King James, I'd be glad to trade with you. We got those also. I just like to read out of this one because I'm from South Georgia.
I prefer King
James. All right, well, I'll trade with you before we leave here, okay? And I got to go get it, but I will definitely trade out with you. But just so we're reading the same word, would you go along with us in this one just for tonight? That'd be all right. And, I mean, it says the same thing, just, you know. I tell them, you know, we're from South Georgia. You know, we didn't say, how art thou? We'd say, how y'all do it? But it's the same thing. As long as it don't change the meaning, I'm okay with it. You know, I got my preferences, of course. But tonight we're talking about the certainty of death. Well, where did it come from? What causes it? You ever think of that? And who powers it? Where did death come from? That's right. All right. It come from Adam and Eve. They instituted it, I guess you'd say. But what was it they did that caused death? But what do we call that? You're right.
They
sinned.
Sin. Exactly. They did what God told them not to do.
Exactly. Look at Romans 5:12 with me. Romans 5:12. I meant to write the page number down, and I was a little slack today. I didn't do it. Romans 5:12 said, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's what you said, right? Through Adam, right? And death came through what? Sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sin. All have sinned. We're born with a sinful nature. Everybody on earth, thanks to Adam, we're born into sin. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, so he didn't inherit that. He's the only person that's ever been born that did not inherit the sinful nature of man. He didn't inherit that because he did not have Adam's and Joseph's bloodline. Joseph was his daddy, but he wasn't his father. Amen? He was his. And you know, just kind of a comical thought, and you know, we have to train our children and kind of spank them sometimes. I wonder if they thought about they were spanking God, you know, that, I don't know if he ever needed it, but it was interesting, you know. Maybe he was an ideal child, I don't know. It doesn't say. But we know that Mary was a virgin, without any doubt. And then, of course, Because Joseph and every other man besides Jesus has ever been born, has been born with a death sentence. That is the sinful nature of man. So it says here that death comes through sin, right? Too often, I hear God, and this is a little pet peeve of mine, so those listening on tapes heard this a few times before, but too often we blame God for things he had nothing to do with. How many has ever been to a funeral and heard the term, God called him home? Or talking about somebody that died, God called him home. Now, they mean well, but God didn't call. He allowed him to come home. Now, you say, well, you're splitting hairs. Well, let me make a point. Let me share your thought. The point I want to make is, let's not blame God for the death. Let's praise God for the victorious life after death with him in heaven. Amen. But now, I've done this. I did some research several years ago on this, and I decided just talk to people. In other words, if I found out that, for instance, you had what we'd call an untimely death in your family, let's say you lost a little child, you know, and a lot of us had at least known somebody that has. And I would ask the person, and every time without fail, even though some of them were born again, some of the people I talked to were born again, loved God with all their heart, in the back of their mind, they had that, why did God do that? Because a well-meaning person stood in the pulpit and told them in person, of course, God took your child home. God called him home. God, in other words, when you make that statement, you're saying God killed that child. Now, nowhere in the Bible, after Jesus paid for death, you know, through his death and resurrected from the grave, right? Nowhere will you find where God caused the death. Nowhere. In fact, if he did that, he'd be working contrary to what Jesus did. Jesus paid for what? Death on the cross, right? He paid our sin debt. Of course, all we got to do is accept it. We got to repent, you know, and ask him to forgive us. And we become born again. We become sinless as far as he's concerned. Unfortunately, we don't stay that way, right? I mean, now, the Bible said if you claim to be without sin, you lie, so... But at the same time, again, I'm going to just throw some things out. Now, if you don't agree with some of the things I say tonight, don't worry about it. We're not talking about where to go to heaven or not. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just some things I feel like I want to share with y'all out of my heart. And as I talk to these people that I met all over the country, just at random, I was in a motel one night in Mississippi, my wife and I, before we got the motor home and we were traveling, and the Lord woke me up about 2:30 in the morning. He got a lot of nerve and spoke to my heart. I mean, just out of the blue, I woke up wide awake, and he spoke to my heart and said, go have a cup of coffee in the restaurant, of course. And I thought, I don't want no coffee. I want to go back to sleep, actually. And he just led me to get a Bible and these trucker's guide that you have in your hand that we give away. I grabbed one of them and went in there, sat down at a table. This woman came over, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of thinking, what am I doing in here? I'd like to be sleeping. And of course, when she spoke to me, I spoke and said, bring me a cup of coffee, blah, blah, blah. Well, something was said about the Lord. I forget what I said. And immediately, she challenged me about the goodness of the Lord. Long story short, she had a son that died in an accident, and she was told how God took her son home. She loved God, but at the same time, she had this question. This was a straight-A student, excelled in all that, you know, what you'd say, the ideal young man. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. I said, can you sit down a minute? We're the only ones in the building. She sat down and I said, let's analyze the situation. Tell me how your son died. What happened? He was riding in a pickup truck, as we do in the South, sitting on the side instead of sitting down where we belong. And her quote-unquote drunk husband was driving. He hit a hole. Young man bounced up in the air. And when he come down, the pickup was gone. Landed on his head, on the pavement, and he died. I said, well now, okay. So what caused that death? The guy's not paying attention, hit the hole, whatever you want to call that. God didn't do that. God wasn't driving the pickup truck. Amen? He had nothing to do with it. And I sat down and shared with her, and I don't know who did the funeral, don't care, none of my business. But she'd been told repeatedly during this service, because of all the good things her son had done, he was in heaven reaping his reward because God had took him home. And in the back of her mind, I don't know why I'm sharing this. This is not even what I had planned. But for what it's worth, department, okay? But in the back of her mind, she had this bitterness. You know? Now, I love my wife with all of my heart, but sometimes we have a little friction between us, you know? It's not divorce, nothing like that, and we're not fighting, but we can have a little friction. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I wanted to, I'll call that between her and God, a little friction. She didn't understand. But when I got through sharing with her that in John 1:3, it said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 1:3. John 10:10 says what? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Jesus said, but I have come that you might have
life.
That's right. I have come that you might have what?
Life.
Life. You see? Jesus came to bring life. And not only just life, but more abundantly. One version says to the full. In other words, as much as we can take, as much as we can stand. So, we know in Hebrews 13, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Well, then if he came then to bring life and he's the same today, he's still bringing, not death. We read right here, and you say, well, you took it out of context. Read the whole thing then. But it says here that sin entered the world through one man, and death came through sin. You see what I'm saying? All right, so we know where it came from. It came from sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Boy, did I ever get off course. Hebrews chapter 2. Maybe that'll just give you something to ponder. I like to make you think, even if you don't agree with me. Okay? You know who taught me the most about the Bible? Was a pastor called, well, his name was Dr. Brian Lee. Well, I say the most. He taught me a lot, let's put it that way. And the reason I say that is we started going to that church. I thought that's the craziest person I ever heard in my life. You know why? Because he taught me something I didn't know. And any time we get taught something we don't know, our tendency is to challenge it. Or mine is. Mine is, okay? I have been known to argue. But my point is, every time I went to church and every time he started that, I had me a legal pad like this or a notebook or something. And I was writing down what he said. And I'd go home and get out of my truck the next week on the road somewhere, start studying that and say, son of a gun, it does say that. It does. But now, again, when we're getting taught something we don't know, please take the Bible and see if that's true. Because there's a lot of garbage out there today, okay? Right? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth, study to show yourself approved. That's what it says. So we need to study. It's great to hear preachers preach and teachers teach and all that. And commentaries are great. Nothing will replace your private time with God in the Word. Because it don't need interpretation, does it? What's that?
Faith comes by hearing.
That's right. Romans 10:17. And on that note, it says faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. Now watch this. Here's some another little food for thought, okay, that I learned driving a truck. Satan don't mind you reading it as long as you don't
hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do.
That's right. As long as you don't hear it. Because like he said, faith cometh by hearing, not reading. Now listen, watch that. What you read, anything you read, goes into your mind. Whatever you hear goes into your spirit. We call it in the heart, but the spirit man. Okay? Don't matter what you hear, good, bad, or ugly, it goes in your spirit man. For instance, in anger, you could tell somebody, I hate you. Now, you can apologize till your eyes fall out, but that person never, ever forgets what you said. They may forgive you, but they can't forget because it's in their spirit. You follow me? That's why it's so damaging to say things. But by the same token, the reverse of that, and what God had in mind was for us to hear good things, to hear the Word of God, and thus grow from it. The best thing you can do as a truck driver is to buy you the Bible on tape or CD, depending on what you got in your truck, and just listen. I would spend hours. My last job I had, that I was telling you about, delivering the Winn-Dixie. Well, that means I get to sit there sometimes. Well, I got the Bible on tape, and I just climb in the sleeper, put a tape in there, and it was an automatic reverse, so it'd play till you switch it off or it burn up, whatever happened first. And it would just, I would just hear the Word of God over and over and over and over and over. While I was sleeping, I was hearing the Word of God. So faith was coming because I was hearing, right? That's what we need to do more of, is listening. Are you at Hebrews 2:14? Look here. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, talking about Jesus, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, Jesus Christ's death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, which is who?
The devil.
Who holds the power of death? Not Jesus. Now, of course, now by the same token, God, of course, is more powerful than the devil at anything. Just like the storms. Ephesians 2:2 tells you where the storm come from. And it ain't from God. My homeowner's insurance policy allows for an act of God. Yours does too if you own a homeowner's insurance policy. And it's talking about storms, and they're not created by God. Now, of course, God allows everything to happen. We know that, right? That's understood. But it don't mean that he wants it to happen. He didn't want me to take drugs, right? He didn't want me to do a lot of the evil stuff I did in my life, but because he loved me enough to let me do my choice. Just like he did Adam and Eve, you was talking about, right? He didn't want them to sin. He didn't want that. But he said, basically he said, your choice. How many's raised children? How many's had children do something you didn't want them to do? Everybody has to raise your hand if you've got a human being. But they make choices, and they live with the ramifications of their choices. Amen? Well, God, huh?
Consequences,
exactly. Well, because God loves us so much, he lets us do what we want to do. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, if you live for God very long, you can identify with this. You'll start, your flesh is leading off into something you ought not to be, and you can feel the tug of the Holy Spirit trying to stop you, right? He'll do all kinds of, put all kinds of obstacles in your path to try to stop you, but he won't override your will. You know, that's the sad case when I talk to some people that are split up, when a husband and wife are getting divorced. One of them gets saved, you know. One of them comes to the Lord, and they're wanting to save their marriage. And they want me to pray that God will save the marriage. Of course I pray that. Of course, because we know it's His will. But now there's something else comes into play. There's that other person's decision. Right? That other person has a right to say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. And God won't make them to do anything. See, I wish He would make us sometime. I wish He'd me. I wish He'd just stop me, but He lets me go and make my decision. Well, here we find who's doing all that. Who's behind all that destructive stuff? The devil. Because he wants you dead, Fred. The devil wants you dead. Either dead spiritually and or dead physically. You see, you know, in Genesis chapter 2, God was telling them all about the garden, and you know that story. You know, you can have everything here except that one tree. Now, being human beings, and you say, don't touch that one, that's the only one on your mind, right? That could have been a 100 square acres there, and that one tree would have been in my eyesight. Because He said, don't touch it. Right? I love it when I walk up with a wet paint sign. We're just redoing the steps out there, and we were joking about that. You put a wet paint sign out there, and I guarantee you somebody will touch it. Won't they? Just to see if it's still wet. But that's the way, that's our sinful nature coming into play right there in a very small way, because we're defying that rule. And our sinful nature. And the sin that causes death comes from where? The devil. Not God. Okay? But we're certain to die because, again, we were born through Adam. We inherited his sinful nature. Billy Graham, everybody on earth has got a sinful nature. But the good part of that is, see, that's not a cop-out either. That don't give us a license to steal, as they say. Because we have control over that sinful nature if we want to. God will help us control that. And He'll put the devil under your feet if you will help. But again, God ain't going to make it. God ain't going to make it. Man, I got saved December the 19th, 1971. I'll never forget it. I can see it in my mind as if it was yesterday. And when I stood up from that altar, I didn't have any influence of drugs in my body whatsoever. Boom, just like that. Now, this wasn't a deliverance service, and I use quotation marks, but you know what I'm saying? I just went down and told a preacher, I got to change my life. He said two words. He said, let's pray. And pray we did. And I let it all hang out, as they say. Give it all to God. I cried like a baby. And I would tell you before that, men don't cry. Told my wife that. You won't ever see me cry. Men don't cry. Real men. And I tell you, real men don't need religion. It's just a crutch. That's why I snicker when people tell me that today. I said, I've been there and done that. I know that line real good. Religion might be a crutch, but relationship with Jesus is not. Amen. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. But what I was going to say is, now I got up from there free from drugs. Free from drinking, didn't want any more, and was completely clean. But there was other things in my life, we can name all, that I didn't have victory on. Now, you may say, well, and the thing that blows my mind is I never cussed again. And they tell me I used to be horrible at it. I don't even want to think about it, let alone try to remember it. But the point I'm trying to make is I run across people today that are born again, and they're having a hard time with their language, quote unquote. And I'd like, my flesh would say, well, if you was really a Christian, but then I find out they're strong where I'm weak. You understand? In other words, I need to pray for them in the strong area I have to pass off some of my strength so that I can receive some back. Because no matter what your weakness is in your life, friend, I guarantee you, you'll run across somebody strong in that area, and it don't matter where you're strong, somebody else is going to be weak. instead of running each other down, we need to get together and link up and get strong together. Amen? So, death is certain, caused by sin. We all have this sinful nature. And the sinful nature is causing us, there's not only physical death we want to think about tonight, but also spiritual death. Also the death of a marriage, the death of a relationship, the death of a friendship can be caused by sin, right? How many times we heard stories about two couples that run around together all the time and this spouse and that spouse started getting together? We heard that thousands of times, right? In other words, this sin of lust caused the death of a great friendship, right? Now, smart couples protect each other from that. My wife and I protect each other from ourselves. In other words, don't get in that compromising position and it won't never happen. That's my theory. If you ain't there, it won't happen. And we've all been lured by Satan, right? Sometimes we listen to God, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we find ourselves in places we wish we hadn't went. All because of this sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 7. Here's where Paul, the Apostle Paul, is describing his battle with his sinful nature. Romans chapter 7, and let's see. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's try that, see what that tells us. The battle with the sinful nature. Now, we all know about Apostle Paul, right? He was my hero. But now, he had problems just like we do. Maybe not the same kind as mine, but maybe the same as yours, or maybe the same as his. But he had problems. Look what he said. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. He's saying on his one side, he's unspiritual, the flesh, right? I do not understand what I do, he says. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. It's almost a tongue twister, isn't it? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. Right? Here's a man sold out to God. If you study his life, he was sold out to God, but he said sin still lives in me. Why? Because of the sinful nature. Now, one thing's for sure, we've established that we all got a sinful nature, but we got a spirit. If we're born again, we got a sinful nature and a spiritual nature, okay? Now, whichever one gets fed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know about you, but my flesh cries out for certain kind of music that's not really spiritual, shall we say. The oldies or whatever. Nothing what you say really wrong with it. Per se. I'm not going to listen to something with four-letter words and all that stuff in it. I'm not going to do that. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, I listen to the oldies to please my flesh. Now, is my spirit getting anything out of that? No. But if this goes on and on and on and on and on, I'm not talking about a few minutes. If somebody got absorbed in it and listened to it all day long, you know, and all night long. And so what's happened is my flesh is getting fed and my spirit is not. So now, when the temptation comes along, what's going to happen? Exactly. You're going to give in. Especially if you're a country western fan, and please, I'm not busting down on country western music, but, you know, the triangle love affair thing, right? I mean, you know. And, of course, rock and roll, and all of them got their bad songs. And all of them got good ones, too, by the way. Some of them are quite wholesome. We went to a Ronnie Millsap concert in Dallas at the truck show here a few weeks ago. And afterwards, we were VIP guests there, so we went. And there was no alcohol there. I made sure of that first. And we noticed something, though. I'd listened to him for years and years and years, but I'd never paid any attention, I guess. The fact that there was no tears in the beer music. There was nothing about a triangle going on in his life. It was all, what you'd say, wholesome music. But now what? But my spirit still is not getting fed, right? Now, I'm not doing anything damaging per se, but my spirit, you understand? My spirit's not getting fed. The last motorhome we had a gasoline-powered generator, and the engine, of course, was run off of diesel. Now, how many knows I could have kept putting diesel in this tank over here and running the generator? What would have happened? What did happen? It ran out of gas. That's what happened. I know what happened. But my point is, you can be fueling the one side and the other one go dry. What you're doing over here is not what you'd say bad. You're not going to bars. You're not dealing with prostitutes. You're not, you know, all the things we could say is bad. But the point is, thank you, Lord, the point is we're just not feeding the spirit man at all. So our sinful nature gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. All right, let's go a little further. How about Romans 6:23? Just back up maybe one page. Probably know that by heart, eh?
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
That's right. The wages of sin is death. The payment. What is wages? The payment. It's the payment, right? And the payment for sin is death, as I mentioned earlier. It's not necessarily physical death. But if I run around on my wife, if the adultery comes in, then we're going to have the death of our relationship. Amen?
Sometimes it is a physical death, too.
Oh, yeah, she promised me that. But anyway. She promised that. No. But you're right. You're right. And if you live in sin long enough, it will actually cause physical death. And for instance, anxiety will. You know, if you're in a situation that you're worried about all the time and you live in this worry, frustration, that can kill you. So it can be a physical death as well. It says the wages or the payment of sin is death. Now, the wonderful part is it don't end there. It don't end there. What's the last part say? But the gift of God is what? There you go. So we don't have to stop on that sad part. The wages of sin is death, but I like to tell Satan, the good part of that old boy is mine's been paid. Amen? The payment for my sin has been made. Jesus Christ signed a blank check for me. When he died on the cross, right? His sin not only covered everything up to that point, it's covered everything since that point. Amen? And people will get saved tomorrow and the next day and on and on and on, somewhere in the world probably. And their sin is already paid for. But you see, if we don't accept that payment, if we don't accept that receipt, then it's not going to do us any good. In other words, we got to ask him to forgive us of our sin. There's a movement going around now saying you don't have to repent of your sins to be born again. I challenge that. Because Jesus himself said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. That's right. So we must repent. Again, the sinful nature. See, Satan, if he can't kill you, if he can't stop you, then he'll try to slow you down. Right? Anybody in Vietnam besides me? They're all too young for that. Anyway, we found out that what booby traps are about is just to get you out of commission. I mean, certainly they want to kill you. But if they couldn't do that, if you're laid up in the hospital, you're not shooting at them. So they've done what they were meant to do. Satan works exactly the same way. You see, if you know who you are in Christ, he can't take your life. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know your authority in Christ. And when he comes calling, let Jesus answer the door. When Satan knocks on the door, let God answer the door. See? So he gives us power over that, even though death is a certainty. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 15. just over a couple of three pages from Romans where we're at. 1 Corinthians 15, the last chapter next to the last chapter. Verse 15:21. I'm glad that death is not the end of the story. Amen? Death is not the end of the story. We say goodbye to people, and it's temporary. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, "For since death came through a man, we've established that, and that was Adam, right? The resurrection of death comes also through a man." Verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." So we have redemption. We have a price that's been paid. Adam's sin caused us to inherit death. But if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we become born again, live for Him according to the Word of God, not according to man, but according to the Word of God, then our death is paid for. Our sin debt's paid for. I may die, but I'm telling you right now, if I fall dead this minute, I got a request from you. I want you to see that nobody's upset. Nobody's sad. I've told my wife, my children, my grandchildren, if I don't make it to the rapture of the church, if I die for some reason, I really don't think none of us in here age-wise will, but if I do, I want the biggest party that's ever been. I don't want any edge of night organ music played at my funeral. I don't want a funeral. I want a celebration time. Because, folks, the minute breath leaves my body, I'll be with Jesus. I know that. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Not even one iota of a doubt. Do I know that in my spirit, that Jesus has paid my sin debt. And you want proof of that? Turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, last book in the Bible. The Revelation of John. Revelation 1:18, I believe it is. Excuse me. This is Jesus talking. But we start at verse 17. John speaking. John said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said," quoting Jesus, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades or hell." I hold the keys. Jesus said, that ain't the end of the story. I've conquered it just for you. It's a done deal, folks. It's a done deal. Yes, this death is certain. Death is certain. Sin causes death. And as you said earlier, it's not necessarily but can include physical death. My wife and I have been married almost 38 years. And I just couldn't imagine not being together. I don't even want to be away from her none of the time. I don't want to be away overnight anymore. I'm glad I'm off the road, huh? Done that for many, many years. For 18 years of our marriage, at least 18 of them, I was gone all the time. Last couple of years, I run pretty well local. Of my driving, I mean. But the point is God has brought us together. He's brought you and your wife together. And you have the option to strengthen that or weaken it through your prayer life. In other words, your sinful nature is going to lead you other ways. You said when a temptation comes along, be strong and tell them no. Tell them no. I've learned one way to, when temptation comes along in the form of a woman, is all you got to do is mention Jesus. And they act like you got leprosy all of a sudden. They'll go. I don't want them to go. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want them to get saved. We had a prostitute that was right outside of one of the chapels in another state, and the chaplain saw her and recognized her for who she was and said, "Why don't you come in with us?" And she said, "Like I am?" He said, "I don't care. Jesus loves you right where you're at." Well, she went on her way, but in 2 or 3 weeks later, she came back to that chapel, fully dressed, really nice, came into chapel service. That night, she gave her life to Christ. And through a series of events, the chaplain called some people in the city. They come and picked her up, took her to a place where she could live. She went to school, finished her education, got an outstanding job, got her own place, and getting married. Because somebody cared. See, we got to remember, when we classify sin, we may look at the homosexual and say, that's detestable. That's a human being that needs Jesus. Fully savable, as long as they're breathing. Amen? The prostitute that aggravates you when you're trying to sleep in a rest area or whatever, right? Banging on the door. You know what? That's somebody's little girl. That's somebody's little girl. My daughter is 30 years old. And in fact, they're on a 10th anniversary cruise as we speak, her and her husband. We're house sitting. And boy, every kind of duty comes along. But you know what? But for the grace of God, that could be my little girl out there. And yes, she's 30 years old, got 2 children of her own. She's still my little girl. But for the grace of God, it could be your family or your family. So thinking that it's somebody's family, let's go out and understand that this thing called the sinful nature has control of that person's life at the moment. But if we offer a kind word, again, if we've been feeding our spirit, we're going to have something to say. In other words, just take music, for instance. And if we wanted to quote a lyric, wouldn't it be better to say, "Love lifted me," than "Tonight the bottle let me down"? I mean, if you literally are quoting what you're listening to, right? And don't get me wrong, like I said, not all country music is bad, not all gospel music is uplifting. Hello? I mean, I have to admit that. Some of it I love, but point is, I want to make sure, even though death is certainty, my sinful nature is here, but I don't have to do what it says. As you quoted earlier, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what we need to do is bury ourselves in the word and hear the word on a daily basis. That don't mean you do it all day, every day. None of us got time to do that. But if you give God, I've learned something. If I give God some of my time, and we talk about tithing, we're talking about off the top. Well, what about time-wise? Do you give him your best time or what's left over? Think about it. Do I give him my best energy? And I don't know about you, but for me, that's first thing in the morning when I first get up. By the time I go through my day and you're doing your pickup deliveries and your call and dispatch and you're going through all that and you go out there to take your rest break, your mind's going 90 miles an hour. Where can God get in there? You know, I mean, think about it. Exactly. That's exactly right. If we start our day off with God, I've just learned it does a lot better. I get up and walk. Even before I get into phone calls or get into any part of my day, I get my first cup of coffee because I need that. I might walk over somebody if I don't do that. But I'll walk out in the street. I get out there and walk and pray. Just talk to God. Get my day started. And ask God to be a part of my day. Ask him to lead me today. Give me wisdom with understanding today. Give me compassion today, Lord. Help me to be a help to somebody today. And if I give myself fully to the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us to do, then even though this death is such a certainty, it's almost like it's not there because I don't care. I'm not worried about it. Amen? I'm too busy serving the Lord to worry about that. I've had people argue about where is hell. You know, is it in the center of the sun because the sun's so hot? Yeah, is it in the center of the earth? Or I said, I don't care. I'm not going. I don't care where it's at, you know. I'm not going. Let's talk about heaven where I'm going. And in Revelation 21, it describes heaven, my future home. And to me, that's like picking up a brochure about Hawaii or some favorite vacation spot. Man, look at this. And it's all mine. It's all yours if you're a born-again Christian. And that is our choice, folks. We got to make up our own mind about that. I'm so glad that you took the time to listen to the tape today, and I really, really pray that it was a blessing to you. Call us with your comments or email us, of course, but may God richly bless you is my prayer. If you need prayer for any reason, the 800 number's on the tape. Just give us a call anytime. Thank you, and God bless.